This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Well, 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 everybody. Taco Tuesday here on the West Coast, and my Golden State Warriors are NBA champs. And a bonus today, folks. It's the one-year anniversary of this show. 1 year down, many more to go. Let's get to it. The man who predicted the Warriors in five, Jason Whitlock, makes the case that Kevin Durant was more impressive in these finals than LeBron James. And I, of course, agree with him. Cowherd says the LeBron-MJ debate is not over yet, and it might be closer than you think. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard says LeBron will stay in Cleveland, and they have a shot to win more if they can add Paul George. Plus, Fox basketball analyst Jimmy Jackson explains why he's all in on the Warriors, saying they may not attend the White House. Plus, I make an argument for NBA super teams being great for the NBA. You ready for Speak for Yourself? Cowherd and Whitlock, take it away.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock. And I'll tell you why LeBron will never win another title in Cleveland.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why the Warriors will win again next year and why that's not a bad thing at all for the league. Speak for yourself. Starts right now.
You looking forward to next season?
Oh, I can't wait. I might just buy multiple season
really
tickets.
Are you looking forward to
next
season
already?
All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and Jim Jackson. Let's start with the Golden State Warriors, who took home their second title in 3 years, dropping LeBron and the Cavaliers in just five games behind yet another incredible performance by Kevin Durant. After the win, KD was named Finals MVP. Here he is on winning his first title.
Yeah, it was 55 seconds left, and I went over to half court line, and I bent down. I was like, is this really happening? And Dre was like, keep playing to the end. Andre Iguodala was like, keep playing. We got 50 seconds left. And I'm like, bro, we about to win the title. And, you know, so I just tried to stay in the moment the whole series, and I think that worked for me. I remember plenty of times throughout my career, I continue to just look in the past and look ahead and not stay in the moment. In this series, I just stayed in the moment, and we did it together, man. They call us a super team, but there's been a lot of super teams that hasn't worked, and we came together, and we continue to just believe in each other, and we sacrificed, and we champs now.
Experience is the best teacher in life, and he's just experience and experience and experience, And it also helps when you able to experience some things with this team as well. You know, and he felt like he needed to reassemble and reassess his career and come here.
KD and LeBron both put up huge numbers in these finals. LeBron became the first player to ever average a triple-double in the finals, but Durant's team was better when he was on the floor. Colin, was Durant more impressive than LeBron in the finals?
No, he won, but he wasn't more impressive. I mean, listen, first of all, LeBron just owns Golden State as far as he does whatever he wants. It doesn't mean he has the best team, has the best teammates. There was a moment last night when I was kind of laughing watching it. And Durant had Steph, he had Klay, he had Draymond, he had Zaza. And I'm looking at
Zaza.
And LeBron had three of the worst defenders in the league: J.R., Korver, Kyrie. And it is remarkable what LeBron was reduced to playing to in these finals. He had to just have three-point shooters. There were multiple times in these finals I looked around and I'm like, LeBron's on the floor, the guy should be out of the league. Daryl Williams on the floor, J.R. Smith, either overpaid, don't play defense, should be. Richard Jefferson's on the floor. Kevin Durant was with guys with gold medals, MVP awards. Durant, better team. LeBron, more amazing.
So make or miss league, Kevin Durant made more big shots than LeBron James. Come on now. I mean, and LeBron James is still the best player in the world. But in this series, Kevin Durant hit more big shots.
More open shots.
Well, regardless, LeBron was open too. He hit more big shots. And then even last night, Steph Curry played well. Klay Thompson didn't. Draymond wasn't particularly effective. It was Steph and KD versus LeBron and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie started leaking oil at the end. But Kevin Durant was the best player in these finals. And he is now a true rival for LeBron James. There's a true rivalry in the NBA. But LeBron's still the best player, but KD was better in this series.
LeBron was phenomenal, first player ever to average a triple-double. But I'm going to be with Jason. I think I have to take KD as more impressive because in the big moments, Game three, the last 3 minutes, he scored 7 of their 11 points in that 11-0 run that turned it. LeBron obviously didn't score. And then yesterday, game five, when the Cavs were up 8, and then Golden State went on that 34-11 run that turned it and they took control of the game, KD had 13 points. LeBron only had 3 and only took 2 shots during that run. So I just think during some critical moments, KD was bigger. That's why I'd say he was more impressive. Obviously, he won.
Well, the workloads were different, though. LeBron had to do much more in regards to his team to be even in the game, defensively, offensively, coaching, whatever it took. While KD had the unique opportunity, experience to play off of other great players. So his workload wasn't as heavy, as, in particular, coming down the stretch. Now, down the stretch of the game, I did think LeBron, I knew why he passed to Korver in the corner, but for me personally, I would love to see LeBron take that shot. KD is going to pull up. His success rate was higher because of that. KD established himself, I think, more than anything, as a guy down the stretch of the game you can depend on. Outside of what happened at OKC, again, the circumstances are different. This is a different team.
By the way, during the game, you were trying to find 45 seconds that you could rest LeBron. You were like, okay, we're getting close to a TV timeout. If you give LeBron 45 seconds. When KD checked out of these games, it wasn't even announced. You'd be like, oh, KD's off the floor. With LeBron, you had literally the announcers last night are, when can you get him 45 seconds of rest?
Okay, but let's look at last night and when the runs happened. When LeBron was on the court, his plus-minus wasn't that good. The guy with the great plus-minus last night for the Cavaliers was actually Kyrie Irving. And so, again, listen, LeBron's a great player. I don't even think he was that great last night, though. Honestly, there was a lot of garbage buckets at the end. There was a lot of LeBron just playing bully ball at the end and running over people and getting layups. And they all count. But to me, some of it was garbage buckets at the end. It was some stat padding. Look, there were key stretches in this series. Game three, most important. They needed to win that game. The guy came up empty. He just did, and I love the guy. He came up empty in that final 90 seconds. It was a horrible 90 seconds.
How come everybody...
Flipped the series.
How come when everybody criticizes LeBron, it always starts with this qualifier? Listen, I love the guy.
Yeah, I do.
The last 6 MVPs in the finals, LeBron and the guy containing him, which means, 29, 11, and 9. Like, the common thread to all these finals is LeBron gets it, or the guy that beats him with a better team that contains him to 30, 11, and 9.
Well, I mean, also, too, what's the definition of greatness? I mean, what standard are you holding him to in regards to what else can he do in regards to that? I mean, I know there's time. You got to understand the makeup of LeBron James. I think people tend to forget this. He's been the same kind of player his whole career. He's not going to change now. He's not going to change because critics say you need to shoot here or you need to do this here. That's not his makeup. He's not going to be Michael. He's not going to be Kobe. He's not going to be Westbrook.
We're trying him.
The unfortunate thing for LeBron is, first of all, the standard he's held to is Michael Jordan's standard. Not even Jordan was held to this standard, where LeBron basically, we scrutinize every possession. And I think it would be more fair if, like you said, we've always said he's part Michael, part Magic. And we wouldn't jump on Magic for making that pass to Korver.
At all.
So we have to look at LeBron a little bit more like that.
What if LeBron's career came first? And LeBron's ended up going to 14 finals. And then Michael came in. And people would say...
Well, keep it at 8, though, because it's 8 so far. 8.
And it would be like 6-for-6.
Or 10 or whatever.
We would be going, yeah, but Michael played the Sonics. Michael played the Jazz, who had one shooter. He didn't play the best team of all time. If you reversed him, I'm just saying, maybe some of these arguments wouldn't be so anti-LeBron. Now, LeBron might be the first player to ever average a triple-double in the finals. But even still, his career finals record, it dropped to 3-5. It hurts to say that. Here's LeBron after losing out on yet another title.
I left everything on the floor every game, all 5 games. So for me personally, I have no reason to put my head down. I have no reason to look back at what I could have done or what I shouldn't have done or what I could have done better for the team. I left everything I had out on the floor every single game for 5 games in this finals. And you know, you come up short.
All right, Whitlock, does last night's loss put all the LeBron-MJ comparisons to rest?
For me, it does. And again, it's not a huge knock on LeBron James that he's not Michael Jordan. To me, the comparison is Magic Johnson. Both of them preferred to be facilitators, Magic a little bit more than LeBron James. But that's who I think the comparison is. And Magic Johnson's career was cut short. I think at age 31, he basically stopped and he came back. But again, to me, the conversation about Michael Jordan, I think we clearly know who LeBron James is. He's not a fourth quarter killer. He's everything else except that. And Jordan was so much a killer in the fourth quarter and in the games. I just think that takes it off the table and we need to move on.
I have never seen either of them play. And if you put this graphic up, I don't even know who they are. I have no emotional connection. LeBron, MJ in the finals. I'd be like, yeah, the one guy scores a few more, but geez, that guy on the right, he appears to be way better. And by the way, the guy on the right didn't score as much because he's more efficient. Some of this is...
Why did you leave off 6-0 versus 3-5?
Because we're not...
They are playing for wins and losses.
It doesn't really fit the
argument. Those are championships which are won by teams. When we're talking about GOAT, it's dude. Dude versus dude.
Well, let's throw Will Chamberlain's numbers up then.
Well, I've always thought he's underserved. Jabbar's underserved. What? I'm saying if we're going to go greatest player of all time, GOAT, just put the numbers up.
But I think LeBron's second to Jordan, but I think it does have to end. I mean, when you're separating the elites, the ultra elites, you nitpick. Little failures here, little achievements here, you know, nuances and stuff like that's how you differentiate. And one guy being undefeated in the finals, the other guy losing 5 times, only winning 3 so far. And we can say that I do believe Golden State was better than any team Jordan played in the finals.
I think the Spurs teams were better than any team MJ played.
Okay, but you can't just – LeBron also lost to teams that were worse than his team, like Dallas. I mean, that Jordan never lost to a team – that was worse than the Bulls.
True.
He never lost to a team as bad as I think that Dallas Mavericks team was.
He never beat a team as good as Golden State 2 years ago.
But he beat everybody who was in his path. And then you can go other... I mean, Jordan led the league in scoring 10 straight years. LeBron's only led the league in one thing, one time, scoring one time. Like, Jordan, I think beyond just the championships, there are other factors that make Jordan the GOAT.
You used to work in the news business.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I worked in a newsroom, TV, and you worked in a print newsroom. Was the guy that, were the people that won Sports Writer of the Year the best sports writers? No, not in my business.
Those are titles. That's more subjective. This is objective.
It's awards. It's trophies. It's
on the court.
Here's my thing. It's two things. One, LeBron hasn't established himself as far as, is he going to be a scorer? Is he going to be an assist guy? He hasn't singular defined that. So he's all over the place. And that's a good thing for him because now he's not going to be – if he wanted to average 35, he could do that if he's zoned in on that.
No question.
Now, here's the other part of it. Who's writing the narrative? We're living in today's world where it's all about – we still are used to seeing Michael Jordan and talk Michael Jordan. 15, 20 years from now, it's millennials who are going to be writing the narrative in regards to what they saw, who they saw. LeBron James' name is going to be up there on top of that list in regards to what they saw and what they felt. So the narrative today is Michael Jordan. 15, 20 years from now, it may be something totally different.
Who do you think was a better player? Jordan or LeBron?
Two different players from a basketball perspective. Two totally different players.
True, but
you're picking sides. Who you picking?
I'll say Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
And again, Colin, we can't sit here and act like – what I don't like is the removing of the scoreboard from – because that is the point. They roll the ball out there for the scoreboard, not for the stats. Well,
especially in basketball.
Yeah, LeBron's
going to end. It's different in football and baseball.
I gave you my scoreboard. That was my personal scoreboard.
No, that's a stat sheet.
And he's going to own multiple records when he's done. But the defining point you're going to always go back to is you look at the finals record.
Look, I think
no matter
there's
who did he play?
Russell's got 11.
You mentioned Will, but his individual numbers aren't close to Jordan's.
Well, by the way, 5 more years at LeBron. How close are MJ's going to be to LeBron?
I think there's a lot of similarities. You guys brought up Wilt Chamberlain. LeBron and Wilt Chamberlain, maybe the greatest physical forces we've ever seen in the
game.
They are. Statistically as well. LeBron, you're right. He's going to rewrite the record book just Michael, like Wilt rewrote it.
Blow Michael's numbers off the
book. But when it comes to championships,
winning.
You look at Wilt and you say, how did he only win two?
And you always go back to Russell. Gifts. You always go back to Russell.
And LeBron, you're going to feel the same way.
Too many gifts. If LeBron were more refined, just a scorer, I think it would be easier to build a winning team around him. Sometimes you can have too many gifts.
That's a great point. I've had one former player who's won championships told me that LeBron would have more titles if he picked what he was going to be. I'm either going to be Magic and give you 22 points and 12 assists tonight, or I'm going to be like a true small forward, lead the league in scoring, and 10 rebounds.
See,
because that makes it easier for the other players to know their role.
So you can relate to having too many gifts. I can't. That's the argument.
All right, welcome back. Jim Jackson is back with us, and we're joined now by Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. Let's return to the Warriors. Not even been 24 hours since they won the title, but there are already questions swirling about whether the Warriors will visit Donald Trump's White House. The team issued a statement today saying, quote, "Today is all about celebrating our championship. We have not received an invitation to the White House, but we'll make those decisions when and if necessary." All right, several Warriors from Steph Curry to Steve Kerr have been outspoken in their opposition to Trump. I'm someone that thinks they should go. These guys are the biggest Trump critics in sports, from Steve Kerr to Sean Livingston to Steph Curry. The whole group should go out there and question the man. They should go out and engage with the man. I think he would be up for it. The guy's a sports fan. If you don't like someone or you don't like their policies, ignoring them won't make it go away. It's like, what problem goes away when you ignore it? Oh, Colin, I've got a weight problem, but I'm going to ignore it. I'm never going to exercise. I'm not going to eat right. I'm just going to pretend and hope that it goes away. You have to engage with whatever you think a problem is. So I think they would be making a mistake if they don't go.
Well, I'm for teams all in or all out. What I don't like is when teams get splintered and superstars go or don't go. And, you know, the Cubs were all in except Jake Arrieta with President Obama. Southern teams more conservative, maybe for a conservative president. This is the Bay Area, man. This Bay Area does its own thing. Listen, we live in a country where you can have strong, defined opinions against the sitting president, any candidate. I'm never, you know, a little bit of a heterodox. I think politically, I'm for whatever people want to do individually.
Did you say you were heterosexual?
Heterodox.
Heterodox.
It's a big word.
Yeah. I went to Ball State. I'm
not bothered by it. Whatever you want to do politically, right. You and I are kind of opposite sometimes. I'm all for it. I like to engage in this. And if you want to protest, protest.
Well, it's interesting to me that you were able to take a vote on something that someone hadn't asked you to do. That's the first thing to get. At what point do you get together and got like, they haven't asked,
but
if they do, we don't want to go.
We think they're going to say no.
Right. But that's the thing. Everyone's assuming that they're going to say no, which they have the right to do. A lot of it is going to depend on the owner. Because number one, he's not inviting individuals if he invites the team. So it's going to be a lot on the owner's individual political affiliation. The Niners went at, you know, 89 after that Super Bowl. They went when after we won, it wasn't even brought up. Like no one, we never, that's why I know number one, guys didn't vote on whether or not they were going or not. We were never asked about it. Nothing happens. I don't know to this day. Maybe it was because of a Democrat being in the White House at that time as opposed to a Republican being in the White House the previous time. I don't know what it is, but it never came up. And the other thing about it, where you're saying you think they should go, and if you disagree and some Warriors have come out strongly against the president, dude, man, this is shaking hands and kissing babies. You won't be there talking politics. You think he's going to give him an opportunity to get in front of that
Donald
microphone
Trump.
And say, we don't like what you're doing?
Well, I think the issue, too, is before, have we had a figure in the White House when a team has won a championship that maybe is divisive enough?
No.
And also, keep in mind, like I was reading a quote from the Pittsburgh Penguins in regards to their going. Well, hockey demographically is a lot different than the NBA.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that went on during the political campaign were viewed a lot differently than how we see it within the NBA. Minority inside. You think about it. So we're viewing it a lot different. Like, hey, listen, this affected not only myself, my family, my friends, whoever it is. So I may not choose to be around that. Now, does it mean that later on, I agree with you, Jason, you cannot have a conversation with somebody that's in power. You have to be able to have something tangible to talk about to get their pulse. But right now, there's an opportunity for a team to say, listen, we don't want to, we're not feeling Donald Trump, we're not going.
San Francisco's different. It's not like the rest of America.
And you think that Donald Trump doesn't know that?
Which is why I'm saying he
may not even give an invitation to them. That's what I'm saying.
But he has to give an invitation.
No, he doesn't.
Yes. Well, Donald Trump doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, Donald Trump is doing it.
I'm shocked. Trump didn't campaign largely in California. I mean, he knew the truth.
He's into sports. He'll extend the invitation. It's a predominantly black team. And one of the things you talk about hockey and any other sport, I think the Clemson football team just win or win at some point. But when you start talking about basketball and a black team, we don't understand how much we surrender our freedom of thought. That there's only one ideology that we can support.
Was that protest?
No, there's only one. We can only support super left-wing liberal presidents or who are allegedly liberal. White people have far more freedom of thought. You can support Trump or support the Republican Party or the Democratic Party without getting kicked out of your race, without being seen as defying or selling out your race. We don't have that freedom, and somehow we think that's a good thing.
No, I get where you're going.
For Trump?
No, I did not.
I get where you're going. I get exactly what you're saying, where you're going, but I don't think the visit to the White House being granted or not, an invitation being given, I don't think that has anything to do with your freedom of thought as a player. Because as a player, like I said, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice as to whether or not I went to it. And these players don't have a choice unless they get an individual invitation from the president. He's not going to invite them.
My point is more about we've heard a lot of people sniping about Trump.
Yes.
And a lot of young people and these warriors. Much of it, I believe, is uninformed. I believe it's Twitter-driven, uninformed. Again,
how is it uninformed? If you're watching what he did during the political campaign, it's right there for you to see. Forget about what you read. Forget about that. Let's just take that out. Let's go to the commentary and what he said on TV. That is how you form your opinion.
I would agree. You can judge people off what they said, but we've looked the other way on what people have done and still engage with them. We can get all upset about what people have said, or we can get upset about what people have done. We look the other way on what people do and get very emotional about what people say. It's a mistake.
Welcome back. Chris Broussard, Jim Jackson are here. Let's return to the NBA Finals. Why not? So much fun. Cavs fell to Golden State in just 5 games, which many of them weren't close. With Kevin Durant in Golden State for the foreseeable future, LeBron has his work cut out for him if he wants to bring another title to Cleveland. And it sounds like he's well aware of the challenge.
I don't know. I need to sit down and, figure this thing out. But as far as that team, they're going to be here for a while. They're going to be around for a while. Pretty much all their guys are in their 20s. Pretty much all their big-name guys are in their 20s, and they don't show any signs of slowing down. So, there's going to be a lot of teams that's trying to figure out ways to put personnel together to try and match that if they're able to actually face them in a playoff series, both Eastern Conference and Western Conference, because they're built for, from my eyes, they're built to last, a few years, so we see.
All right, Jason, can LeBron win another title, even one in Cleveland?
Yeah, he could. He's LeBron James, but I don't think so. I think his best opportunity, he talked about Kevin Durant in a previous clip, recalibrating, reinventing himself. I think even at age 32, 33, 14 years in the NBA, LeBron James needs to reopen and reimagine himself as an NBA player. And I think he'd do that better in Los Angeles with the Lakers, with Magic Johnson, with maybe enticing Paul George out here and playing a different style. To me, the Warriors and San Antonio, to me, have proven this new ball movement, man movement, is superior to ISO ball. And LeBron, he rejected that with David Black, and it was a mistake. If LeBron played in that kind of system, he would have won the argument about Michael Jordan. But he's chosen to be an ISO player, and I think it's cost him a championship or two.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that I agree with. He is a willing recruiter. Not everybody is. And he's a darn good closer. So I do think he gets on the phone.
Closer with free agents.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's willing. Like, not all guys will get on the phone.
Right.
He's willing. And he also, he doesn't like to feel trapped. So we know this guy is willing to be mobile. I mean, this is a guy that's, like, been willing to be hated for a brief time or question. I the marketplace, there's not a lot of things that solve Kevin Durant. That's, you know, Paul George maybe, but listen, I think we all agree we're going to see this finals at least one to two more times. And I just don't see, outside of a Paul George to Cleveland, maybe, I don't see an answer for KD.
Look, maybe you can get Paul George to Cleveland. I think that's plan A. Because remember, he's under contract one more year. So definitely this summer, it's going to be all about trying to get Paul George there for next year. Going forward, does he really want to go to the West? I mean, not only do you have the Warriors there, you've got the Spurs there. You could maybe never get back to the finals. And I'll say this, I would not put anything past LeBron James, and we'll see what kind of moves they make. But it's very possible he doesn't win another title just because this team is so dominant. And then Cleveland definitely needs to do some things and make some changes. I don't know if he's going to end his career in Cleveland, but remember, he went back for other reasons. It wasn't just to win a championship. He wanted to live in that area, raise his kids in that area, be an example and a light to people in that area. Yeah. So I don't know that he leaves.
Well, to Jason's point, too, recalibrate, reinvent who you are. It goes back to trusting the system, too. From what I hear, too, inside is that he does have a lot of trust in Ty Lue as a coach. Ty has his ear. So I think it's going to be up to Ty Lue to look at this and say, offensively, this is where we need to improve. In game three and game four, when the ball was hopping around, that's when we saw the best out of Cleveland. That's, Colin, to your point, where now he has to be able to get into LeBron's ear, into Kyrie's ear, and say, listen, if we really want to win and we can add a piece here or there, we're going to have to change the way we play. You can't be as ball dominant, but you're still going to get your opportunities.
How many years was Michael Jordan in Washington?
Two.
I was just thinking about, let's say we all agree LeBron's got 4 years left. And then he doesn't want to deteriorate and be a three. Kobe's last four, Michael's last two or three. Mm-hmm. Like, generally, Kevin Durant's last three or four, that's not when you win titles. Like, Kevin Durant's in his prime for about another year or two.
He's only in his 10th
Okay,
year.
Let's say he's got three more prime years. But the chances are
he's got about
four or five.
But I mean, if LeBron's got 4 years left, five, this is about the time it's harder to win a championship.
It is. Listen, I'm going to throw another curveball, and this will be crazy. Bat spit crazy. What about Miami and Pat Riley? To me, that he should have never left. If it was just about chasing Jordan and winning
that
titles.
That one championship, though, in Cleveland was bigger than his other two. I mean, that was humongous.
But if he ever wanted to catch Jordan, I think he should have stayed with Pat Riley in Miami, and they would have figured out a way and that organization. Mm-hmm. And so, again, he's done his job in Cleveland, in my opinion. He brought him a championship, three straight finals. If he peaced out again, I don't think people would be burning jerseys. And maybe he should make up with Pat Riley because, again, as much as they may have some animus, they were good for each other. And
he learned
that's
how to win. How to win down with Pat Riley.
Pat's 70, right?
Yeah.
Pat's got about 4 years left, too.
Yeah.
No, it's not crazy. But, you know, I just look around and I keep looking for answers.
It's hard to find a situation for any player where you say, okay, he goes here, they can beat Golden State. Chris Paul going to San Antonio, it's not beating Golden State. You know, like, it's hard to put
Well, that's why Golden State's the best team I've ever seen. You don't have answers for all-time great teams. That's why they're all-time greats.
All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard and Jason McIntyre are back. Let's return to the Warriors, who totally dominated the league this year, en route to winning the title last night. While there's been some hand-wringing over the Warriors' dominance, FoxSports.com writers think the Warriors are actually, quote, the best thing that ever happened to the NBA because they will make the rest of the league raise their level of play. Calhoun, is the Warriors' dominance good or bad for the NBA?
Great. Find me these dynasties that hurt commerce. I'll wait for your answer. Find me
it's
one.
Be competitive.
Okay, most of them aren't.
Teams are right now are thinking about, I'm not even going to go for it for the next two or three years.
I keep hearing all this stuff. Here's what I know. When Tiger was winning the Tiger Slam, every tournament he was in, every dominant. UConn women, ladies, the highest rating was on their 100th straight win. Everybody fears these things. Find me one dynasty that hurts revenue or relevance.
I think the good thing about these Warriors is that they're exciting. So yes. Even if they blow you out, you still want to. It's fun to watch 25-footers and sometimes 35-footers. And then their players are compelling. If they were the Spurs, we might be in trouble. But they're exciting. I mean, Draymond Green, the KD commercial that just ran with Nike is phenomenal.
Watch that. These are fun guys. Yeah, their personality.
So the Globetrotters.
That's the good thing about it.
I went, the first sport I ever saw was Globetrotters. I went home and had a great time.
You ain't been back as an adult.
Jordan's dominance was great for the league.
The ratings, yeah, the TV ratings for this finals were incredible. They averaged 20 million viewers a night, the best, I believe, since the late 90s when your boy Jordan was playing. But even if you don't like TV ratings, how about social media metrics, guys? The NBA destroys the NFL and Major League Baseball on social media. It's not close. NBA
now
fans are all online.
Something that really doesn't matter.
Well, whatever metric, whatever metric you want, jersey sales for Curry, TV ratings.
Why do you go to
media,
Vegas? Why do you go to Vegas?
Immensely popular.
I can't talk about that on air.
You go to have fun.
Yes.
Fun matters. This is as fun a basketball team. They have Curry, who's showboaty.
Better than Kyrie Irving.
You have Durant, who's the, you know, he's 7 foot 3-point shooter. You got crazy bully tough guy Draymond, who's actually maybe the best quote in the entire league. Yeah, yeah, you got Steve Kerr, who could do stand-up comedy. You've got a dirty player in Zaza.
You know what you're describing? The Globetrotters.
I love the Globetrotters.
Metal Lemon. No, but and all, everything but the basketball and the competition.
To the point of the article on FoxSports.com. It should have each and every franchise lift its play. Because let's remember what, before Kevin Durant even went to the Warriors,
gotta have the resources.
What made them great? That Steve Kerr found the perfect system for those players. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, nobody was shouting that that's the most talent in the league till Kerr put him in that system. So I challenge all these coaches out here.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers, you got a lot of talent. Find the right system for your players. Same thing for the other coaches.
Let me push back on the Globetrotters real quick. We didn't love or hate the Globetrotters. We kind of liked them. They were fun. We love or hate the Warriors. You either love them or, man, they're a bunch of phonies. Kevin Durant just jumped on board.
By the way.
Either hate them or love them.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Durant's a villain. Steph's a little over the top. Draymond, they got some villains.
Polarization. You know a little something.
This is the one-year anniversary. I'm wrong once a year. It was today on this topic.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. For this podcast, folks, make sure you check us out on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube. We love when you leave us a review and give us your thoughts, suggestions, and questions, of course. It was a fun NBA season. It's now over. And, folks, I love the idea of Miami chasing a superstar, of Boston chasing one or two, of the Lakers maybe getting into the act. Super teams are great for the league. The finals, TV ratings were off the charts. Don't give me that regular season garbage. It's a sport that's always been about the playoffs. It's been like that from the jump, and I'm loving every minute of it. Talk to you tomorrow.